All right. Let's get on the word this morning. Are you excited to be in church?
Yes.
All right. We've come some way, and this will be my 8th hour talking about Canaan. And we've been talking about Canaan and steps to the good things that God has in store for us. I've been trying to see and to find areas where we need to adjust our steps, areas where we need to adjust our steps so that we can receive and enter into the good things that God has given to us. And so last week we addressed the elephant in the room. And we talked about the generation, those who could not, who could not go in to receive and to receive the good things that God had in store for them. The generation that ended up spending 40 years in the wilderness and did not enter into the promised land. And we said that they did not enter in because of unbelief. I mean, if we didn't have that strong statement, we could think a lot of things. We could say that the giants were in the land. We could even begin to say, like some people say today, there are fundamental powers in your father's house and fundamental powers in your mother's house. That is dumb. Very, very dumb. The reason why they did not enter in is because of unbelief. Hey, come on. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. It is not because of fundamental powers in your father's house. I thought about fundamental powers, father's powers in your father's house. And I thought about the fact that if you had a man and his son in the house, in the church, and his son was married and had a child, I mean, which fundamental powers would they be talking about? It's not the fundamental powers in his father's house. When they mean father's house, I mean they're talking about his ancestors. But if you are taking to these ancestors things, guess where we end up? We end up in Adam. We end up in Adam. And when you get into Christ, you are out of Adam. And then your faith and belief in God, it separates you from all that kind of stuff. So which generation do we stop? We think his own father, if his own father were praying that prayer and was saying his problem was fundamental father powers in his father's house, then he would have gone back to his own great-grandfather. If his great-grandfather too was praying that prayer, he and said there was fundamental powers in his house, that's why he could not enter in, he will go back to his own great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather. And they will take the thing, and when they get to the end point, they will stop at Adam. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Not you are dealing with fundamental powers in your mother's house, fundamental powers in your father's house. I mean, those fundamental powers, they are not bigger than the fundamental power of Jesus. Since everything is fundamental, let me add fundamental. Are you in church now?
Yes, sir.
The fundamental powers in your father's house, don't mind me. I think. But the fundamental powers in your father's house, are they stronger than the fundamental powers in Jesus Christ? Huh? Why are you dealing with them? Jesus Christ came and dealt with them. So if you are not seeing those things now, the Bible says, so we see. That they could not enter in because of unbelief. And we said that is the elephant in the room. That is what we need to address. Let us address unbelief in our hearts and address these things that hinder us from taking the steps, according to God's word. And where we value God's word and how we place and esteem God's word. Bible says they despise the land. Remember, I told you we'll talk about that, but I can't spend time talking about that. When it says they despise the land that he has promised them, say they despise the land. The thing is there is that they despise God's word. We must stop and say, see, they say they despise the land. He was the one that told them of the land. In despising the land, they despise his words. I mean, go to the scriptures there. That's what he's talking about. They despise his word. That is why they despise the land. Who told them about Canaan? Who told them to go? Who told them everything? They went to the land. They said they despise the land. The truth is there. They despise God's word. That was unbelief there. They heard what he said. They looked at the land and despised what he said. And they said the giants are there and they walked away. It was not the giants. It is not the mountains in front of you or the obstacles in the nation or those things there. It is because of unbelief. If you believe in God, with God all things are possible. And your faith in God will able to bring you into the good things that God has promised to you. That is the truth. So we see. Therefore, that they did not enter in because of unbelief. Let that thing dawn on you. And so you are able to tell yourself the truth. That is the elephant in the room. Say, the thing here is this. There's unbelief in my heart. It is not the giants. It is not my father's house. It is the unbelief in my heart. I have not believed God's word. I have not studied on my faith, grown in my faith, taking on the lion and taking on the bear and dealing with the things that I come my way, and so I've been receiving without believing. I have been observing the things that God has done in my life. I have never come to what a conclusion. The children of Israel never came to a conclusion about God. Brothers and sisters, that is the root of unbelief. They never came to a conclusion about God. They never even thought about the matter. Remember, I kept on talking to you about remember the Lord your God. I am the God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. They never came to a conclusion. Our God is faithful. I've come to a conclusion about God. That our God is faithful. He kept his promises. He spoke over 400 years. And right now we are out of Egypt. Our God is powerful. Look at the conclusions that they should have come to. And then the giants would have been bred for them. Conclusions about God. They would have said now that the giants are out there, but our God is faithful. Look, I'm giving you from their story. I concluded that our God is faithful. Why? He kept his promises. Our God, or my God, is powerful. Why? Because he parted the Red Sea and the Egyptians came in and we crossed it, and when the Egyptians entered, the Red Sea swallowed them. Our God is what? Powerful. He's more powerful than the gods of Egypt. If he delivered us from their hands, then obviously he will deliver us from these giants. Our God is good. Why? He's good. We ate manna from heaven. Do we have a good God? Yes. And they come to a conclusion about God. When you keep thinking about God like that, guess what will happen in your heart? There will be belief. There will be faith. And they will go on. They never came to those conclusions. Instead, they saw the acts of God, but they never thought about the ways of God, the person of God, and say, if he gave me manna from heaven, he's a good God. If he parted the Red Sea, that's a powerful God. If he brought us out of Egypt after 400 years in slavery, he's a faithful God. I mean, you can keep telling that. When you look at those things critically, you say, all right, these giants are going down. That is what David said. He said, see, he said, this day Goliath, he said, he will be like the lion, he will be like the bear. If God delivered me from the lion and bear, then, I mean, faith is a very simple thing. It's a mathematical something. I'm telling you, it's a mathematical something. I mean that what I'm saying. I mean, faith is, somebody says, when you talk about faith, there was this movie your wife spoke to us about, she brought and she was showing, you were watching the Case for God. I mean, the guy said, you have to actually have faith. I mean, even the atheists have to believe that what they are saying is true. I mean, there has to be a belief there. So when we are talking about God, now we're looking at something where you have to, it's mathematical, it's clear. Either you choose this side or you choose this side, it's actually 0 and 1. I choose God. It's simple. You have to actually make a choice. The man who says there is no God, he has to make a deliberate, a fixed, conscious choice to say there is no God. That's a choice too. I too have the right to make a choice, and I say that there is God. It's a matter of something like that. It's a mathematical something there. If you look at your life and what God has done in your life coming from when you got to know him, when your eyes were open to see him, and you come and you look at, and then you go to the scriptures and you look at what he has done there, and you hear testimony, I mean, it's easy. It's not that hard. No, it's not true. It's simple. I mean, I believe God. Just like, you know, when you say, that's why I say it's mathematical, it's clear. It's a matter of choice here. And when I say now, you say they are fundamental, pastor, you don't understand. There are fundamental powers in my auntie's house. And that's why my auntie's, I know, have problem. I now just ask you, nobody will answer. You know what I mean, really? The Jesus Christ and the cross of Christ. I mean, is it powerful, more powerful than that? Yes. But you see what I'm saying? I say mathematical something there. You have to fail it because you desperately want to fail it. Because I will tell you now, the blood of Jesus Christ is stronger than that blood. I mean, if they even use human blood, you say, you don't know my people in one village and they use human being sacrificed. Jesus too is human being sacrificed. Huh? His own blood, was sinless blood. And the sacrifice of Jesus is the biggest sacrifice of all. So they could not enter in because of unbelief. It was not because of the past. It was not because of the giants in front of them. That is the truth. And so we'll deal with unbelief as a teaching. I will teach you how to uproot unbelief from your life. Because fundamentally, we have faith. It takes faith to be saved. Come on. Excuse me. You that have come into the house of God, you that have come into Christ, remember, you came in by faith. You know, I always ask people, don't mind me, I'm doing this thing, I want to do this and move forward, but it's important that we deal with these things truthfully, really. I mean, I always ask people, you know, about this. I say, you believe in God? You say, I believe in God. You believe that the virgin conceived? You say, I believe. Yes, I believe virgin conceived. You believe that the virgin conceived by the Holy Spirit? Say yes. And then Jesus was born sinless? Say yes. And that Jesus Christ died on the cross? Did you see him? No. But I believe, you know, this is the Bible. They wrote it, and I believe that one. And then you came, and then one day you closed your eyes and gave your life to one Jesus you never met. Born by one Mary you never met, that you heard about. But you believe, you come that far in believing. I say it's more than remain to get into the good things that God has given to you. Oh God. You don't get my. I mean, I'll say that you're already very close to it. You have faith. You have faith. That's not mustard grain. That's not mustard seed faith. That's real faith. I mean, think. I say it's mathematical. I'm not trying to. I mean, I'm doing this. It's real. You've come to this point. I'm talking to believers now. You've come to this point. You believe in a Virgin Mary. You believe in a Jesus. You believe in a cross. Did you see cross everywhere? You say, there's documented. Jesus died. I saw it. And then you not close your eyes. You not close your eyes. And said, Jesus, come into my... Where did he pass? Through your ear or through your eyes or through your nose? Did he come into your... You say, Pastor, why are you saying all this? I'm saying all this when he now says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Why not believe that one?
Yes, sir.
This thing is easy. I'm telling you. It's easy. I'm ready. I believe. So we must step in. I mean, when I was thinking about that, I have to take a whole course to talk about unbelief and how you do. So what we are doing, we're not trying to, can I say this now? What we are doing here in Christ, we're not trying actually to get faith. We're trying to uproot unbelief. There's a difference. You must understand there's a difference. We're trying to purify the gold. We already have the gold. We need to take the gold to the furnace and remove all the impurities there. The impurities in your faith that are hindering your flow of faith in your life. Point number 9. This will be my 8-hour and this will be my ninth point. Point number 9. When we come next week, we'll do a good recap. We'll bring everything forward and we'll go forward as we go today. Point number 9. You will go out to face giants in a fixed fight. That's the step number 9. Step number 8, you see now, what did we say step number 8 just now? You have to address the elephant in the room before you face the giants in the field. And because they did not address the elephant in the room, they could not face giants in the field, and so that generation passed. And now, in step number 9, we are now talking about the generation that actually entered into the promised land. And the thing there is that, I was giving the point, you will go out to face giants in a fixed fight. That's step number 9. But there are some thoughts in my mind concerning the children of Israel that did not enter, those ones that did not enter. The thing is, what did we really expect? What did we really expect if you read the story? What did you really expect? That the people who always complained and murmured, who could not even stand bread, water, they would be able to face the giants. What did we expect? They never built their faith. They played all through. They were playing through the 11 days, 1 month. They were playing all through. And they were not believing God. They were not making conclusions about God. What did we expect? So what do you expect in your life? You know, we're talking about this thing. I may not be able to go as far as I want to go. But today, let's dwell on this thing and receive so much. We're talking about this thing. We're talking about, nobody says, faith, great faith, little faith. You know, I said people miss the point. You know, I was talking about that some months ago. I was talking about people. We were just talking about faith, this faith. And I said, people miss the point about this. And I said, okay, your faith is not at this level, there's that level, there's that. It's not about that level. It's about the words you choose to believe. Right? It's about what you choose to believe. Just like I said just now, you have great faith to have believed that Jesus Christ died on the cross and washed away your sins. Sins you did not see. Blood you did not see. And although you already have great faith. That is great faith. That takes great faith. You already have that faith. It's not about it's a matter of what we choose to believe at a particular time. So I choose to believe these things and there's faith here. I don't believe this stuff and there's no faith there. That's just what it's about. Right, and so the people, they never built their faith. They never looked back and saw, oh, God helped us here. We saw these things here, and we saw these things here. And say, okay, all right, I choose to put my faith in God and go through. What were we expecting? That the people who could not muster, beat the brain, who could not simple things. I don't want to call particular things, but simple. They could not do these simple things. People who based their life, who wanted to stay, whose thoughts. Whose thoughts were always concerning Egypt? Before, I mean, you have you dated somebody that had one boyfriend like that? Before you could have any conversation, Emeka did not used to do this. Before you just go do this thing, Emeka treated me better. Ha! Guy, go to Emeka. Or Emeka has the cases. I just go to Amaka or Emeka. Did it rhyme? I didn't even try. I just. You see, Holy Spirit is powerful. Because it can be both ways. You are here, you are thinking about Amaka. I mean, go to Amaka. It's not better. Those guys, what did we expect? That they would face the giants and their thoughts were in Egypt. Before the cup. How many times you hear, oh, we wish we died in Egypt where the pots of steel. I mean, they, when they were saying, you would think they were enjoying. You thought Egypt was a good place. Yes, so they always ran back to it and they realized that they could not. I mean, when I looked at it, I said, don't mention upon it. Those were thoughts. You had that thought. Their thoughts were constantly in Egypt. Whereas they crossed, these same people crossed Red Sea. These same people got manna. They ate manna. The bread. They ate meat, quail. I mean, if I did what Moses did, you people would be licking my. I mean, you guys would be literally licking the floor. Oh God, let quail fall now. Bam. Say God, this guy is, I mean, quail, just blow into this church now. You are eating meat like fried already. I mean, you can even fry it. No, God can do anything. You won't even need to fry this day. I mean, you're corn. And quail meat is very delicious. I mean, you're eating like this. If I say all of you stand up, I mean, they ate those things. And they still, we'll stone Moses. You want to stone Moses? If you have a problem with me, you see that you're smart. They have a problem with money. If money were here, you guys will be buying and worshiping.
Yeah.
Those guys saw Moses real. Huh? And he did not. And guess where their hearts were? Egypt. Tell to God that we died in Egypt. Why would you amazed? How would those people face the giants? It's not possible. So what were we expecting when you got to that point? At that point, because they've not built their faith. This is an argument for building your faith. Build your faith with a lion and build your faith with a bear. Keep building your faith and keep going up. Keep growing in your faith. Keep accumulating these thoughts about God and let your heart stay there. I'll come to discuss with you about faith, about belief and unbelief, and we'll look at it. We'll talk about, I titled the message already, nervous system, digestive system, and belief system. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about your belief system. There's a whole system called your belief system. You know, you have your digestive tract. You have your digestive system. You have those systems there. We'll talk about your belief system there. Well, how's your belief system? Is there a problem there? We'll talk about that. But that's point number eight, step number nine. So when step number nine, we're talking about how you have to go. So these people, that generation, they did not have, the generation that entered, you must know this. I'm going to say it again. The generation that entered into Egypt, they did not have, they did not have any thought or memory about Egypt. They were born in the wilderness. They were born into that wilderness suffering, moving from place to place. They were suffering anyway. It was not their plan. It was the plan of the fundamental powers in the father's house. The fundamental powers. All right, and they defeated the fundamental powers of the father's house, and they got into the promised land. All right, and they didn't have pots of stew in Egypt. They didn't have memory of houses in Egypt. The only thing they knew were tents, and they were moving here and there. And so I kept on telling you that go through these trials and these things. These things are to build your faith. If you count it all joy, right? I've told you that. So they moved on, and these are the people that entered into the promised land. And now the statement to them is the statement to you. And you are at that point now where we say you will go out to face the giants in a fixed fight. You must know that now. You will go out to face giants in a fixed fight. You go to Joshua chapter number 11. You see, we've left Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and then Deuteronomy. We're talking about Joshua. We've gotten to the generation that actually got the promised land. Joshua chapter number 11 and verse number 18. I could not do this. The rain was falling. I did not go yet. The sun is shining. I could not come because stomach is there. I did not. I mean, if you do not do as woman, I mean, stand up in your faith now. Stand up in your faith. When real issues are, you say, hey, Pastor, this is a game. This is the letter they gave me. I mean, deal with this now. Start growing up in faith. Joshua chapter number 11 and verse number 18. Joshua made war a long time with all those kings. There was not a city that made peace with the children of Israel, save the Hivites and inhabitants of Gibeon. All other they took in what? In battle. Right? Verse, go on, keep going. For it was of the Lord to harden their hearts that you should come against Israel in battle, that he might destroy them utterly, and that they might have no favor, but that he might destroy them, as the Lord commanded Moses. Next verse. And at that time came Joshua and cut off the Anakims from the mountains. I'm reading on purpose. The Anakims. They talked about them. Those guys in Numbers, remember, they called them Anakims from Hebron and from Debir, from Anab, and from all the mountains of Judah and from all the mountains of Israel. Joshua destroyed them utterly with their cities. Next verse. There was none of the Anakims left in the land of children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod, there remained. Next verse. So Joshua took the whole land according to all that the Lord said unto Moses. And Joshua gave it for an inheritance unto Israel according to their divisions by their tribes. And the land rested from war. You see now that the things is that they fought their way through. They fought. They got into all the lands. They got into these things. The Anakims, the giants. Are the giants there? That's what I mentioned. The Anakims, the giants. And they faced the giants and they fought the giants and defeated the giants, irrespective of fundamental powers of their father's house or their mother's house. These people had belief. They had faith. And they had faith and they stepped out and they sharpened their swords. They prepared themselves and they went out to fight war. So I want to show you, I want to tell you now, concerning this receiving the things that God has promised to us, we are going to face giants, right? And we're going to face giants. We're going to go to war. But you must remember, you have to put the thoughts, you have to stay here. You must remember that the children of Israel, the people that actually, the children of Israel that got into the promised land, they were trained in the wilderness. They were not people of war. People of war, in terms of, they've not been fighting war. Come on, 40 years. They've not been fighting war. And they've not even fought anybody before. So, you understand, they're not people of war. They're just young men. So they got swords, sharpened them, got spears, and stood there to fight. And they really fought. I'm going to show you that they fought. That's why I read to this point. And the land rested from war. They fought wars. Real wars. And I want to try and show you, that this dimension of this war that they fought. And show you how we actually receive. This is the final step, a very important step to receiving the good things that God had in store for you. And this is the place where many people miss it. Now, this was, while, stay with me now, I want to talk to you now. This was, while the wars were very physical, you must understand, the wars were physical, the land rested from war. So there was war. While the war was actually physical, it was also spiritual. So, you know that there is a spiritual dimension to the wars that you fight in your life. So, you will go out and you will fight wars, right? So, there's this thing there, there's going to be a fight, yeah, right? And they fought all the way, the God fought and got all the land, but it was a fixed fight. You're going to go out and fight wars. The error I want to point out is that there are this thing that life is... is spiritual, and so they move. We talk about these two different dimensions of our life. Please stay here. I want to say something powerful. You get this. This is the crux of my point going forward. They feel that there are two dimensions, and so when you go into life, there are believers on this side and then believers on the other side. They say there are two dimensions there. There's the spiritual dimension, and then there's the physical dimension, and so. Thinking that these dimensions are separate, they can go to war saying, I am going to war. Yes, separating the spiritual side. And then there's this side that everything is spiritual. fundamental powers in my father's house. A spiritual cough. Okay, that was, I'm joking too much about that. Don't mind me. The thing is annoying to me. Really, I get very angry when I think about those things. But I'm trying to say something. The guy does this and then he says this thing there is spiritual. He goes here, he says it's spiritual. He comes here, he says it's spiritual. And then you are trying to, you come get to the point where you are trying to say, it's true. And then you get the other guy who just says, let me tell you, you have to do this, you have to do this, you have to do this, and you do this, this is a key, and you can do this, and forget. And then when you are listening to that guy, you say, guy, hey, but what about this? Then you are listening to this guy, what about this other guy? The truth is this, they are not two separate dimensions, they are one dimension. Apostle Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter number 10 and verse number 3, Apostle Paul tells us it's one fight. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. He says, see, these two dimensions are one. It is the same we. It is the same we who would walk in the flesh. It is the same we who do not war after the flesh. So in your life, there is this physical dimension and the spiritual dimension, and two of them are one. The only reason why we lose as Christians in this life is because we fail to see the two dimensions as one. If you take one dimension and you are praying, you will lose. If you do not sharpen your sword, you will lose. If you sharpen your sword and then you go without God, you will lose. You will only sharpen your sword and then you will go with God. You get what I'm saying now? If on a Monday you get up on Monday and say, pastor, I finished preaching, Sunday is for pastor, Monday is for work, leave that side. You have so lost the battle on Monday. You have so lost the battle on Monday. You see what I'm saying now? These people, they face the giants. They went to face giants. Let me tell you, the Bible says, you see there, for though we walk in the flesh, we actually have to walk in the flesh. Our battle, our war is not after the flesh. But where do we walk? Come on. So you get a group of Christians who are everything is, kick your leg, is spiritual. Come to work in the morning and say, oh, God, this is like this. Say, it's a spiritual statement to me. I rebuke, I bind. Then you get the other set of believers who actually are diligent. They are telling you all those things. I believe God, but let me tell you, when it comes to this, you have to be diligent in this. You do your diligence and you go up. Diligence will save you. Huh? Are you here? Diligence will save you. Praying in the spirit alone will save you. I talked about this before. Remember my teaching, man shall not live by bread alone. I had a whole series on this and I told you. You have to deal with both sides. So you will go out to receive the things that God has given to you. You will have to fight giants. You have to face giants. Now, how do you face them there? You have to understand that these two dimensions are one. If you can understand that, you win. It means that you will go to work on a Monday with what? The spirits of Sunday. You will go to work on Wednesday with the word of the year in your heart. How many times through the week do you say, I cannot be stuck? Jesus, you are my door. This is my year, you see now. But how many times through the week do you calculate the things that need to be done and then you go after the flesh? That is now where you miss it. That is the step I'm trying to show you there. That you have to merge these two steps as one. We will walk in the flesh, but we will not war after the flesh. The weapons of our warfare, they are not carnal. But there is a warfare. But they are not carnal. But we are in the flesh. And we have to deal according to the flesh. So I will not disrespect the people around me and speak rudely to my client, disrespect my bosses, and speak arrogantly to my colleagues, and now say my problem is spiritual. You see what I'm saying now? Your problem is not just spiritual. You actually have to sharpen the sword, prepare the sword. But they were not so skilled, but they had to fight. They fought. Real battles, they fought. But they were not so skilled. There's no way they could be that skilled. No way they could be that skilled. So while we are in the flesh, we will deal in the flesh. Because we want to bring a balance to this thing here. There has to be a real healthy balance there. When you are saying, see, I am going out to work on Monday, but do I leave? You know, some people are able to disconnect what I want on Sunday. That Sunday is like, when they are done, they pull the cloth, fold the thing there, and then go to war on Monday. And you are worrying on Monday. Where? With how? You have to war with your God. Nobody goes to war without a spiritual backup. Everybody has a spiritual source. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse number 7, it says some trust in chariots, some in their horses. It's there. Psalm 20, verse number 7. But it says some trust in chariots. So when they left the house, their own place there was in the chariots. Some trust in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. Alright? While they are brought down and falling, we will rise up and stand. So we will go out. We will fight them with their chariots. We will be fighting them and they will have chariots. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. He didn't say we don't have chariots. He didn't say we will not carry sword. People make that mistake. Some, they say they trust in chariots and some in horses. We will remember the name of the Lord our God. You see that now?
Yes,
David, did he carry sling and stone? Aha.
Yes,
are you here? Yes, what I'm saying is very important. You have to make it too. David went to Goliath with sling and stone. He says, my God. But hey, it was my God that brought him down. That will bring you down. It is not the sling and stone.
Yes, sir.
But he has sling and stone.
Yes,
the children of Israel born in the wilderness 40 years. If the guy was 15, 40 years, 50 something, he had never fought. Where did he fight battle? Real battle. He never fought anything. And then he had to face giants. How did they go? They went with their God. The believers failed. This is the reason. They've not been able to merge the two. Can you successfully merge the two? Yes. Are you here?
Yes.
You merge the two. But on Monday, you are saying, I cannot be stuck. You are saying good things. The light of God shines upon me. By my God, I leap over. Are you seeing what I'm saying now? You getting my point now? You are having those words in your mind and you are walking. You read the memo twice. You understand what they ask you to do. You submit the report, you pass it through the normal channel, you do the work like that. But by your God, you leap over a wall. You see what I'm saying now? You will leap over a wall, but it will be by the power of your God. You will defeat the giants by the power of your God. Then you will carry your sword and go out in the morning. Amen?
Amen.
The real error is separating the two lives. Pastor, let me tell you, all these things you are saying, I agree, it's in one side. I know what I'm talking about. You are in trouble. You must understand the measure. I want to give you another one so that I can help you here. I'll give you another one, then I'll help you here. I want to show you the measure again, where the two things are one. But let me tell you first of all, the first thought is, the land that God wanted to give them, if we are looking at this thing as a spiritual something, as a spiritual something, a word spoken to God, spoken to them by a prophetic word, right? Spoken to them. Did they now have to carry sword? Did they have to fight? Aha. You know, to be spiritual. Can you not be spiritually handled? You see now. Can you handle it spiritually? They had to carry a sword. Come on. They could have handled it spiritually. They wouldn't have needed to carry the swords at all. They would have needed to fight the war. Would have just handled this ritually away. I know when you are saying that, you are saying, Pastor, yes. People miss it. Believers miss it. They do dumb stuff and they come for prayer. I mean, there's stuff we don't bother to pray about. I mean, that's dumb stuff. Yeah, you'll be in trouble normally for teaching stuff like this. What is the truth? And so some people they take advantage of that error there and they start to share some nonsense things. They say nonsense and people are afraid. They still fear and still fear and still fear. People are afraid. And they say this whole thing is spiritual. It's not only spiritual. It's just dumb stuff. You need to take a sword. Take a sword and put the name of your God on the sword. Oh God. Go to work and go with your God. The only problem is, how do you go to work? That's the real issue. If you just go all spiritual, you won't get it. It won't work. Now let me see this, because when I'm speaking to you, I want you to get the whole truth. The cross of Jesus Christ. Was it a physical something or a spiritual something? It was very much both. Somebody says the pain of Jesus was the pain of separation from the Father. You come, let me nail your hand. You are talking nonsense. It's a good pastoral preaching. I respect you, Pastor Sir. You are talking nonsense. Let me nail your hand. You will know whether it will pain you or not. He said the thing didn't pain him. You are making less of the death of Jesus Christ. The thing was painful. As in, they pulled the nail, he shouted, ah! I mean, it's in pain, excruciating pain. It was very much physical, and it was very much spiritual. What was happening on the cross there, there was physical pain, and there was that spiritual pain there. Both of them were there. Our salvation could not be wrought. I'm going to make it perfect. When he taught me this lesson, some months ago, early in the morning, I was up and meditating. I thought, but it was not even in direction to this. But I was meditating when he came here. Let me tell you this. The thing there is this. He went to the cross, and there's two dimensions there. Why two dimensions? The salvation of the souls of men was not wrought by dying on the cross. People died on the cross. In fact, on that very day where he was dying, people were dying by his side. So death on the cross was not what saved us. It was the spiritual side of the dying of the cross that saved us. Are you here? So if you attack this thing and say it's the spiritual side thing there, you miss the physical part. If you take the physical part, you see that the spiritual part is missing. Because people have been dying on the cross and we were not saved. People died that day, we were not saved by them. But we are saved only by the one who died physically and had the spiritual side attached to it. That's what I'm saying there. They just died physically. There was no spiritual thing there. But when Jesus was dying physically, there was a spiritual something also happening there. That is where the power is. That is how we receive the good things of God for our lives. We will take our lives on Monday morning and on Tuesday. We will go to war, right? While we are still in the flesh, but we will not war after the flesh. Paul said, we will be in the flesh when we war, but we will not war after the flesh. You see that there now? That's the key. So we have to go out with this knowledge. If we must receive the good things, I've been trying for years to bring this thing into the body of Christ. Because if they are tilted one way or the other, the believers don't even bother about excellence when they are doing their stuff. They can work without excellence. And then they say, let us pray. Let us do 21 days fasting and prayer. And then they do 21 days. And so you know when the pastor, because it's not all about that. Then, I mean, if you take the cross and we want to look at the spiritual thing there, could our salvation not be wrought without the physical death of Jesus Christ? Are you still in church?
Yes, sir.
Could our salvation, I want to talk to people who are alive here, could our salvation not be wrought without the physical death of Jesus Christ? Have you not find that there's always a physical side to this spiritual thing? He wants to do something spiritual. He will say, do this. Bible says that Isaac sold in that land. Right? He got 100 food, but he sold. Could he not just give him food? Do you understand that? Our salvation could be wrought from the spiritual side alone. Because it's a spiritual matter. It's a spiritual matter. But Jesus was here dying. They whipped him. They scourged him. He went through all that. I mean, if you are here and you are paying attention, this service has finished. You have gotten the point. Once you get the point, you have gotten to victory. The only reason why believers lose is because they separate the two dimensions. They feel that you will deal in this dimension, and then you now deal in this dimension. No, the two dimensions are one. As you are dealing in the physical, it's a spiritual something there. You know it's spiritual. So when you are going to work on Monday, you go to work on Monday. Really, on Monday, you dress and go to work. And you go early. If you go by now, I will sack you. Me will sack you. You see now? Church is quiet. They are saying, Pastor, you are spoiling this thing. This is not how they preach it. This is how they preach it. Any other way is nonsense. So believers are missing it there. They won't enter into the good things that God has in store for them because they are not diligent with their assignment. They're not fervent in spirit. They do one of the two. They say they're fervent in spirit, they're not diligent in their business. They're diligent in business, they're not fervent in spirit. No! We'll go back again. Can you leave it there in 2 Corinthians? Go to 2 Corinthians 10:3. I want to go back. So I want you to take that. I want you to see that. Because this is the generation that got into the promised land that entered in. They fought giants. It was a fixed fight. They had the word of God already. That made the fight a fixed fight. But they were going to face the giants anyway. So for though we walk in the flesh, come on, where do we walk? Come on, we walk in the flesh, but where do we walk? How do we walk? It now says how we walk. We walk in the flesh, but we do not walk after the flesh. We will walk in the flesh, but we will not. Our warfare will carry it somewhere else. It is from there we will deal with these matters, but we will walk in the flesh. It's not all spiritual, even though it's a spiritual matter. I mean, there's no better way to say it. Your work is a spiritual matter. See, that's what I'm saying. That's why I can sleep in church and pray night and day. No! You see that there? Everything is spiritual. And everything is physical. The two of them are merged in one. The two of them are very much merged in one. They are not two separate dimensions. It's one dimension. The spirit dimension is there. And the physical dimension is here. Oh, after you do the spirit dimension, you still have to do this physical dimension. He couldn't have died spiritually. Eh? And then did not go to the cross. And then we would have been saved. It wouldn't have been possible. You know what Jesus said? He said, if it's at all possible, let it pass. The Father didn't let it pass. Because the salvation I want to rot, is a spiritual salvation. Your blood will wash their sins, spiritual. But your die, we have to die, is the physical. So we couldn't let it pass. Do you understand what I'm saying here? We won't let it pass. There's this double side to life that when you open your eyes to see it, you begin to succeed. Your work. You say, my work is my work. No, your work is spiritual. You can suffer. That is why that is why a believer can suffer in work. From his work, somebody will do you something. It will be very bad in your work. You say, but I went to work on a Monday. I didn't do anybody. You are talking nonsense. Oh God. You don't understand. You went to work on a Monday doing your job. Somebody went to work like you on the same Monday. He added something extra to his work. And so the believer goes there and says, something happened, they rubbed something on your chair. And you see, they rubbed something on your chair. That's how that woman became. And she said, she went to work on Monday. What did she do wrong? It's not her work. She went like normal, as if it's only work. Ignore the carrying the word of God to the work. The reason why they did not succeed. You say, why did he succeed? He had business like every other person. It's because he was working. He didn't know power source. Let me show you. Numbers chapter number 14. Verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun. I want to show you why I said what I said. Why I'm teaching you this principle. And how they won the war. Yes, this is only one way. It's inside your Bible. I've given you enough witnesses to say that what I'm saying is correct. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. Next verse. And they spake unto all the company of children of Israel, saying, the land which we pass through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Next verse. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land. For they are bread for us. Did you hear their defenses? It was not the wall. There was something.
Yes, sir.
They had defenses. Did you not see their defenses?
Yes, sir.
Their defenses have departed from them. What do you think he was talking about there? Their spiritual side has fallen down. Let's go and do the physical side. We have overcome them on that side. We go to the other side. They had defenses. Defenses you did not see. You were seeing, the children of Israel, they were seeing giants.
Yes,
this guy was saying their defenses. Because the thing that was holding them, the thing that was actually making them strong was their defenses. So not giants. We can take them down, but they have defenses. They were looking at it from physical side. They were saying that side too is there. And that side, we've dealt with it. Because we have the word of God. Their defenses have departed from them. So, we can get them. You see what I'm saying now?
Huh?
That's the key there. So they went on knowing that there are defenses. The mountains did not go down. The walls they built around their fences, 8 feet wall, it was still 8 feet wall. When he says their defenses have departed from them, he knew what he was talking about. So that people read this and pass. Now we know what he's talking about. So when they were fighting them, they fought with their defenses have departed from them. They were thinking both sides. We will fight them. Right? Do not be afraid of the people. They are bred for us. Their defenses have departed from them. We will be fighting them. We know that on the back end, the matter has been settled. Then we'll go and fight them. Those guys were seeing, leave God's word in one side. What did God say? Did they ask what God said? No. Did they ask anything? No. What they were doing was physical. They say they are giants. They are giants. So if we go and fight the giants, even the giants knew that it was a matter of their defenses. The things that they trusted in. They had gods too. Gods of the land. Sure you know. They had gods. Gods. They made sacrifices. They were going there. They had gods. If it was only... I reason this thing from a lot of angles. I'm giving them to you so that you can have them, so you can say whether Pastor Ray is preaching something else. If it was a matter of defenses, a matter of their stature, why did they not have gods? Don't miss it there.
Yeah.
I said they have gods. The guy had an army of 1 million and had gods. And if you have an army of 1 million, some of you won't come to church again. That's the problem. You see that? Believers miss it. This is where believers miss it. They don't miss it. Immediately your account grows, you won't have chance. Unbelievers, they will have an army of 1 million. And their gods will be there. With an army of 1 million, they should be marching and taking every city. No, they will have gods. Believers do the other way. Well, let me tell you what we now do. Let's say it's spiritual. So we now have a big God and do all manner of nonsense. No, I mean. Yes. No, I mean, we can do Jesus Christ will save us, but no death on the cross. How will you think about that one? It was not possible. It was not possible. He had to die on the cross. They had to pierce his side. He had to suffer. He had to suffer. That should solve the matter. This has to be everything. There was the dying part, the real dying part, and there was the real spiritual part. They were all taking place on one cross, on one day, that very time. It was happening there. The pain was there. The departure of spiritually was there. Everything was there. You want to receive the good things that God has in store for you. Stop all this carnality. It won't work for you. Stop it. It won't work. And you wonder why you're not receiving the good things. It's because we move to one side. We are saying, I would just do these things. There are many ways to do it. Pastor, you don't understand. Push one side. And then when the matter, when they press the button from the other side, you say, this will not be ordinary hand. You were thinking it was ordinary hand before. You are the only one thinking it was ordinary hand. You are the one that came to a gunfight with a knife. It was never ordinary hand from the beginning. From the moment you woke up from your house, it was no ordinary hand. You had to spoil first. Before you say, this is not be. You know quick no. Thank you, Pastor. You know quick no. It was never ordinary hand. I can't go to work on Monday thinking it's ordinary hand. Huh? It's never ordinary hand. Don't think like that. I've told you. You will never see the person's engine. My car is only in Fast and Furious. You will see they will remove engine. Engine will be working. They will use, it was for 7 or 8. You use wire to draw one engine, do one thing, this one thing. I don't know how that works. I mean, but you don't see that. It's moving. Oh, don't try this at home. Huh? Everybody has a spiritual source. Everybody has a spiritual source. He trusts in something. Whether it's chariots, whether it's horses. We will carry our chariots, then we will trust in our God. Did somebody hear what I just said? We will carry our swords to fight the giants, but we will trust in our God. I mean, you didn't come, This thing, no, you're not in hand. They are shocked. And then they now start running. That's when pastoral work now start. So all the few years I've been coming to church, pastoral work is one way. Look at my job. Look at my family. My children. Everything is okay. You know what I'm saying? When the matter casts, Pastor, this thing, no, you're not in hand. No, you know since. You just say, yeah, you're all coat and tie, not in hand. You're not in hand. We know now. We know. That dealing with these things spiritually, then we are doing our job. You have to measure those sides. That's how you win. You will face giants in a fixed fight. But you will still go and face the giants. Jesus will die on the cross to save mankind spiritually. But you will still go and die on the cross. There's no way. It's a spiritual salvation. But it's a physical dying. All of them took place in one place. You can be fighting battle. Huh? With Moses up on the mountain. Right? And Joshua down in the valley. Yes. Was it two separate dimensions? It was one. One dimension. One. One battle. One battle. They thought Joshua was winning them because Joshua was very skilled. It's not that one. No. It was Moses. So. It was Moses. So. Two of them were happening one day, one time, the same moment. So I'm trying to merge it. I'm hoping that you get it. There are one. You say there are two dimensions. No, it's one dimension. There are four dimensions. It's one dimension. Everything is happening inside one. Pastor, I don't know. I know you say they taught us there are four dimensions. Everything is one dimension. All the dimensions, they collapse into one. And what you do in that one dimension matters. You understand that? So when you are in this dimension, you not climb down to it. You don't climb down. I mean, you are there. On Monday, their defenses have departed from them. On Tuesday, the light of God shines on my head, and by his light I walk through darkness. He said, no, I'm just going to work. Don't just go to work. Don't just open business. Don't just do it. Say it's just normal. Don't just do it. Is what is there? I mean, you don't say this side, then I will not go to this side. Don't go to this side and go to this side. Go to the center. I mean, do you see what I'm saying here? And when Moses' hand came down, you know the story. Joshua will be losing. He will fight all he likes. He will do his sword style. He will do his final takeaway king style. It won't work. The guy will not die. He won't die. Why would this guy die? He didn't know that Moses' hand was down there. Huh? Oh, you're playing and thinking it's my style. Your style won't help you. Okay. Then, the next thing you want to say, is that Moses will just be up there. The Amorites will just be dying. Just be dying. Ah, this is your drop sword. That's what they're expecting. Christian believers are expecting that too much. They're spiritual. They're expecting spiritual. So when they do this, they just sit down. They are waiting. Let me tell you, they are waiting for God's good things to happen. Wait and see. The Lord will do it. Lord, don't fold your hand and wait. Nothing will happen. No. See, this pastor is not preaching well. I'm preaching very well. You are the one that is not hearing well. Wake up. This is what pastor. Huh? And I'm telling you the truth. God, I'm showing you the two sides. They're all in one side. Then I say, when we have done it, we will not wait. You will not wait. As you are praying, Joshua is fighting. They are doing the thing. It's one dimension. That spiritual dimension. When we say we are, don't we say it is spiritual? I've told you this before. I've thought about this thing before. Spirituality is not long scared, lack of perfume and all that stuff. That is not spirituality. Spirituality is bringing the realms, the things of the spirit into the physical realm and using them to live. That is spirituality. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Do you understand? I can do all things through Christ. You see that he mixed the two together. They are in one place again. Again. I can do all things. But how am I doing it? I have a power source through Christ who strengthens me. You will face issues at work. And you are there and you say, Father, help me solve this problem. You will get insight and you solve the problem. It's a physical something, but you are solving it spiritually. That is how we get into the promised land. That is the final step. We wake up, we are diligent in our assignment, and we go out and fight. Are you still here? Thank you, Jesus. So you are working class, you are working, you are doing that stuff, you are planning, you are saving. You are saving. I mean, somebody else, you don't say, don't save anything. Don't save. Kalabasata balabaya, sakalabaya. Save. When you take your income, take a tenth of it, give it to God. After this, I'm not going to go there. Take a tenth, give it to God. That's spiritual side. Take another tenth, keep it in a savings account. Keep it. Don't touch it. Don't eat it. Don't spend it. Say, but my whole income is 5,000 naira. I still said the same thing. Take a tenth, give to God. Take another tenth, keep and save. Deal with the rest. You do everything. So just go. Don't let anybody tell you that's nonsense. I tell you, I say in planning and goals, we are making progress, we are growing, we are touching more lives, things are turning. We plan what we want, we project, we set targets, so we do everything. You think we're just going to kill it, it's time everything is like that. So don't make it look as though there are no plans, there are no goals, there are nothing. Apostle Paul said, we do not plan after the flesh. When we plan, it's not yeah, yeah, and nay, as if we are confused. Say, when we plan, we make plans that we want to hit. Yes, it's your Bible. I already showed it to you. Really. You can get my service, the plans, goals, get plans and goals. Get them. The goals and the anointing, plans and the anointing. I think I did the goals and the anointing. Tell me about goals and anointing. I'm telling you. You have to do the two. And so this is the way we enter into the good things that God has in store for us. This is the way. We are diligent, and then we are diligent spiritually every day. We are doing the two. When we are doing the two, we enter into the good things. We will face the giants. We'll defeat them. Their defenses, come on. Their defenses departed from them. Their defenses departed from them. We have a great God. So when we take our swords and we go out, on Tuesday and on Thursday and on Friday. When you write the proposal. Come on. Read it well. Check for typographical errors. You were copying online and they wrote some things there. Remove those things that is there. Read it well. If you bring a proposal for me to anoint, I will read the proposal first. And you might take it back. Yes, people have done it. And they will sit down. Somebody brought a proposal for me. How they want to be keeping tomatoes to last for 5 years. There's a chemical they imported. They spray. There's a way the tomatoes can last. They showed me. They said they read it. Everything. They had to defend it. They sat down. Group up. They defended. They defended the cost analysis of the business. You say kala baba baba go. You can go and come back. I want you to go with victory. And come back with victory. That's it. So look at what you are doing. Do that and do this. You don't need to do this while ignoring this. You don't need to do this. We are ignoring this. That's the real problem. So we have the church in two dimensions. Some people are very spiritual, and don't go anywhere. Some people are not spiritual, and they seem to be here. And they now think that this one thinks he's winning over this one. I say, don't worry, don't worry. He's not winning over it. You have to put the two together. Right? Why Jesus was dying on the cross, he was saving us spiritually. Why the thieves were dying, they were just dying. Somebody can just die. But somebody else was dying on the cross and saving us spiritually. He could not save us spiritually without dying on the cross. He couldn't do it. If it could happen, God would have done it. He didn't do it that way. If you can get this thing today, if you meditate upon this thing today, you will know how these things work. It is a matter of that preparation. There's preparation there, then victory of the Lord. It's not as if there's no preparation. There's preparation there, but there's victory for the Lord. So we will face the giants and we will take the land with our sword. So what can you do? Would you sharpen your sword? If you have skill, if you are a business person, let me do this. I mean, artisan, coder, online worker, anything you are doing. Sharpen your skills. I beg you, sharpen your skills. Update your skills. Update your knowledge. Find out what somebody is doing. Still be doing that one too. You will be praying and be doing that one. Don't just leave it like that. If there is a better way, if something is going, read. Look at your own work. Appraise yourself. Judge yourself. Adjust those things. You will take now. You will see the good things. Contracts will come. Jobs will come. People will call you from left, right, east, and west. You are a photographer. Take the photographs. Well, look at the photograph. Take the angle. Know the shot. Know where the thing, the darkness, the light, how you mix them together. You do that. Everything you are doing. I say, I pray in tongues. It's good. But you have to also sharpen your swords and face the giants. When the giants come out, you will call upon the name of your God. You will take your sling and your stone, and you will fight. And God will give you victory with the sling and with the stone. With your small corner shop, you will be producing what you require. You might not even have a shop. You are working from home. With that work from home, with the power of God, you will see victory in your life. That's how. That's how to do it. That's how you get the good things that God has in store for you. You see what I'm saying? Bow your heads. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, Father, your name be praised. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for your word spoken to us. Our hearts are open. We'll go out to face the giants. We're not afraid. We're not afraid. We'll do this and then we'll do that. We're praying and we're going out with diligence, with skill. We're going out, stepping out in faith. Every day is not a Sunday thing and then a Monday thing. It's not that I've done this and I set it aside. You don't set Sunday aside. You take the word of God. You set the word of God always before you. Always before you. It's not on Sunday. I set the word of God before me on Sunday. Then on Monday, I go and face my work. You don't face your work without God. You not face your work without God. On Sunday, I set the Lord before me. On Monday, I go and face my work. No! You set the Lord before you always. And then you see the victory. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you, Father, for the grace of your word. Thank you for opening our eyes to see these truths. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Father. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Father. But I see now. I see what I must do. These two dimensions are one. They're one. All one. I go and face the giants. I say, your word, your spirit is with me. Their defenses have left them. Yes, as I face the giants, I say, your defenses have left them. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We are going forth throughout the week, throughout our lives, going forth with your power, in your spirit, in the mighty name of Jesus. I pray for your people today. I pray that as they see these truths, they will begin to walk spiritually. They will walk in the flesh, but they will not walk after the flesh. In the name of Jesus, they see the battle set in front of them. They see the giants, but they also see your spirit behind them. In the mighty name of Jesus, they see that you are mighty with them. They see that you are strong with them. And they see that their defenses have left them.
and they face the giants and they possess the land. In the name of Jesus, all the good things you've spoken concerning their lives, they will receive them, they will walk in them, they will enjoy them. In the mighty name of Jesus, these are not the ones that miss the land. These are not the ones that wander in the wilderness. No, these are the generation. These are the ones that take the land. They possess the land. In the name of Jesus, these are the ones that face the giants and take down giants by your spirit and by your power. In the name of Jesus, these are the ones that take down giants by slings and stones. These are the ones that take down giants not by the skill of your hand, but by the remembrance of your power, of your power and your name. In the mighty name of Jesus, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, July, August, September, November, December, they enjoy good things. In the mighty name of Jesus, as they arise and face the giants by your spirit and by your power, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord. You go out by the spirit of God and you come back in with victory. In the mighty name of Jesus, not by the skill of your hand, not by the strength of your power, but by the power of the spirit of God. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. These ones are strong and mighty. They possess the land. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, my Father. Thank you, Father, for victory. Thank you, Father, because these ones possess the land. They enjoy the good things you have in store for them. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, someone rejoice in the house.